For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us this morning, political strategist Carl Calabrese with a look ahead to tomorrow. Carl, good morning. We are less than 24 hours until the polls open on Election Day, and anything can happen, right? I mean, that kind of seems to be the read of all this information we've had over all the months leading into the election, is that I don't know if I'd be surprised at any outcome.
You know, I'll tell you, it's really a strange election. The first thing that jumps out at me is that I have never seen an election season where the numbers change so little. Usually you start to see movement in October by one candidate or another, and they start moving a few points ahead. This race has moved, but only in tenths of points. It's just amazing. And the other feature is something you just mentioned, Brian, is that I don't know of any political pundit or responsible pollster who's making a prediction, although they all agree on one thing. They're all using the same two words, and that word, those two words are toss-up. About the closest you can come to a prediction is Nate Silver, who runs the polling site 538, and he gives odds, and he says Trump has a 51% chance to 49% chance for Harris of winning. That's about as close as I've seen for a prediction. But everybody I talk to, you know, Trump people or Harris people, they all pretty much say the same thing. Some days they feel optimistic and some days they feel pessimistic. So anything can happen. You're absolutely right.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Nate Silver and those polls, because he's been kind of accusing a lot of the pollsters of hurting, because he's saying there's no way that all these polls taken can all say, you know, with the variance you would expect, you'd have at least one or two polls that would go swing one way or the other, but they're all saying toss up. And he kind of says there's no way that can really be the case.
Well, I know that's what he's saying. And I think we're going to have to wait until the postmortem is done on the polling results, you know, down the road. And just as they did postmortems of 2016 to analyze why they missed the Trump victory, they did postmortems in 2020 as to why they thought Joe Biden was going to win by 7, 8, 9 points, and he didn't. It was a real squeaker. And they have yet to be able to figure out a couple of things. How do you poll people who don't have hard lines anymore, who are on cell phones, number one. Number two, how do you put together a turnout model that accurately reflects who actually is going to turn out, especially for Trump? It's been very, very difficult for pollsters to figure that out. They've missed it twice now. We'll see if they're going to miss it a third time come tomorrow and the days to follow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all over the place. The polls could be wrong. There could be a decisive winner tomorrow night. Or
sure,
if it is this close, both sides already have their lawyers ready to file challenges. You have to wonder if we'll have a winner by Thanksgiving.
You're absolutely right. If it's another, you know, skin of your teeth type election, both sides are going to run to the courthouse, and there's going to be all kinds of cases and appeals, and who knows, it could be a repeat of 2000, getting all the way to the Supreme Court. That's certainly possible, and so it makes for a very, very poor election process, one that is almost designed to give people doubts and to place doubts in people's minds about the integrity of their election system. I was talking to Joe before we came on. And Pennsylvania has already said it's going to take at least 4 days for them to count the ballots. That's ridiculous. I mean, a large state like Florida gets it done on Election Day. It can be done. It's a matter of will. And apparently many states don't have the will to reform and revise their election process to be able to count election results on Election Day and not have election week and election month. This is not good for a democratic republic where people start to doubt the honesty of the election process. And I don't want to think about if we go through another cycle like we did in 2020. But it's very, very strange year. And again, I've been following this race, Susan, since January, and it's been an amazing thing to see all of these polls in the last few months pretty much locked in. I've never seen that before.
What have you made of, and you mentioned how little has changed, which is amazing given how much has changed, right? We go from Biden to Harris, and in the past few months, what have you made of how Harris has defined herself as a candidate?
Well, her first effort was not to define herself in terms of any type of solid issues. It was the campaign of joy and vibes and the brat summer. And then, you know, she did come out with some policy positions that got canned, you know, price controls, that type of thing. And then, unfortunately, I think the last 2 weeks, she has abandoned all attempts to define herself in terms of issues and instead went to the ad hominem arguments and charges that Trump and his supporters are, you know, fascists, Nazis, Hitler lovers, certainly as far removed from the campaign of joy as you can imagine. It's been kind of ugly, in my opinion.
Do you think, Carl, that more people are voting for a candidate or are they voting against one?
I think it's a combination of both. I think there are people, I know people who can't stand Trump but like his policies. And just the opposite with Harris. They don't like her policies, but they like her over Trump. And so I tell people that this is really kind of a simple choice. When you're faced with that situation, are you going to vote for personality over policy or policy over personalities? That's a choice a voter has to make in this election. But there's certainly a lot of, the lesser of two evils going on. And that's been the case for quite some time, Susan. I can remember, going back to Nixon-Humphrey. Is this the best we can do? That charge seems to come up just about every four-year cycle. There's no repeat of founding fathers out there, waiting to run for office that everyone says, wow, what brilliant people. It just doesn't happen.
I think that's where people might get the most election stress. We keep talking about that election anxiety, election stress. Maybe that's the reason why. Hey, Carl, great.
Hey, can I say one thing? There is one group that is willing to make a prediction, and that are the bettors, the people who place wagers. There are six or seven different betting sites. And Real Clear Politics actually does an average of where the money is going. People are putting money down on who they think. And as of today, 56% of the money being wagered is on Trump to win and 43% is on Harris to win. That's a lot more definitive than any poll I've seen anywhere, anytime, any place.
And I can't wait to see, hopefully it's Wednesday morning, Carl, but I can't wait to see how on the nose or maybe off of it the bettors are, because that could mean a lot for future elections.
Do we have time for me to make one more point on who I think or why I think either candidate wins?
Yeah, go for it.
What makes them win? Here's how Harris wins. If you look at those seven states, those seven key states, every one of them has two or three very large cities, okay? You've got Pittsburgh and Philly in Pennsylvania, Charlotte, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Green Bay. You've got Reno. You've got Phoenix. Every one of them, Detroit. If the Democrat organizations in those cities produce the vote and really turn out the vote to be able to overwhelm the rest of the state, just as we see in New York State, where New York City and a few other cities can really drive the state into the blue area, the Democrats. If those organizations do that, she wins. On the other hand, if Trump has a situation where Ben Shapiro calls it the revolt of the normies, where people who look at the country and they say, I don't recognize my country anymore. I've had enough of critical race theory, critical gender theory, no bail, defund the police, men in women's sports. If those, quote, normies come out in huge numbers, Trump wins. I think that's going to decide the election, either one of those two dynamics.
Wow.
Carl, as always, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.